NHL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Eli Manning will be retiring on Friday. Will formally announce his retirement. We have been talking about this. Actually, this has become a nice big topic on the show today. Is he a Hall of Famer? Ian Rappaport normally joins us at 4:15 on Wednesday, but he had asked, hey, I'm literally on the NFL Network right now. Can I join you guys later? He's about to join us now. JT's going to check in with him. Oh, we got Ian?
By the way, the Ole Miss faithful are coming at us about this Eli Manning discussion.
Let's go. Ian Rappaport joins us. So Eli Manning has officially announced that he will officially retire. So instantly, Ian, we crack open this. Well, is he a Hall of Famer? And you can imagine there's strong feelings on both sides.
Yeah, I mean, hard for me to imagine he's not. And I know that there were definitely some moments of not great football. Eli is like in an unbelievable lightning rod because, you know, first of all, you can't attack him at all as a person. So you put that right out.
Right.
He had some of the greatest moments in NFL history. He had two of the greatest and most memorable throws in NFL history. The Manningham catch on the sideline against the Patriots, and then obviously the helmet catch for David Tyree also against the Patriots. So he had some amazing moments. He led the team literally on his back to two Super Bowls. He also had some uneven play. But given his name, given his play, given his credentials, I don't see any way that he is not a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Okay, I believe that he will be in the Hall of Fame. The first ballot thing kind of got me there. Not that I disagree. I just hadn't put that into my brain yet.
Well, I mean, think about it. Because, like, you know, well, I guess it would depend on who he's going against. But,
right,
you know, this year, I mean, remember, you get 5 years from when you retire. So if there's no other quarterback that retires this year, I mean, if Tom Brady retires, then maybe he's the second ballot. If Rivers retires, I mean, if Philip Rivers is a Hall of Famer, he's very good. I don't know. Then have a Super Bowl. Like, who else would stop him from being a first ballot Hall of Famer?
The thing about it that I struggle with, and I would not vote for him, Ian, honestly, you make a great case, and anybody can make a great case for him. The thing about it, though, when I watched the Giants play, I never was in fear of Eli Manning, you know?
Agree.
And he had great defenses when their teams were really good. He had a strong run game. And as Don put it, he was the glue, which is a good way to describe it. But a 60% completion percentage guy, never above 93.6, I think, quarterback rating. Just eyeball test, watching the guy play, is he a Hall of Famer, and you don't know his last name is Manning, I say no.
Yeah, but you also can't do that because everything
that's a great point.
Is sort of like not based around him being Eli Manning, but it's part of it. Yeah. Part of why people listen to him. It's part of why he got some of the opportunities he got. It's part of why he got some of the coaching he got. It's all part of it. And I don't think there's anything bad about it. It's not, I mean, he certainly doesn't hide from who he is. It's been like that his whole life, you know. But I would say that everything you said, I agree with. Okay, you never feared him. It was not like if the Super Bowl next week features Patrick Mahomes with the ball with 2 minutes left, everyone's going to be like, "Oh my God!" Right?
Right.
And it was never like that with Eli, except he still, in the biggest moment, had some incredible performances. Like, I was at covering the Patriots at the Super Bowl, the second Super Bowl win. Wes Welker drops that pass down by, I think it was a 20 or 30 yard line, right? With like 3 minutes to go. And I start writing that the Patriots lost. I started writing my story, the Patriots lost, because I knew that Eli would lead them back and they would win. So he really has had some of the greatest moments with a lot of pressure, even though there's a lot of plays in time where you're like, this guy is just a better than average quarterback.
I couldn't help but wonder, and I said I would put him in. I just couldn't help but wonder, Ian, and one of the things I did say was it would have to be in a year maybe where he wasn't competing with some of these other guys, maybe a year or a couple of years they said, okay, we're not going to put a quarterback in. Now's the time to put him in. I thought it might take a while, maybe a little bit longer than first or second ballot. That's why we all sort of were audibly, you know, surprised when you said first ballot, maybe second ballot at the latest if somebody else retires this year.
Yeah, I mean, I just think of the logistics of it. You know, he's going to have the whole world sort of in his corner pushing for him to go in. And there's, you know, it's a weird thing because there's like a really solid group of excellent quarterbacks right around now and around his age, from Rivers to Breeze to Brady to Eli, you know, all of that. They're all very, very good, and I assume they're all going to get in. It was also in the era where, you know, it's much easier now to succeed as a quarterback than it was 10 years ago, right? So there's a lot of guys that need to get in, but if he retires this year and no one else does, then to me, like, he walks in with a huge, huge vote.
Wow. Ian Rappaport, national insider for NFL Network, NFL.com, our guest. Also, the guy with the Rap Sheet and Friends podcast. I'm going to ask you about that in a second, because I know you had an interesting guest talking about Joe Burrow, and people are interested in that. But a lot of dust being kicked up about the potential that Tom Brady would play somewhere else next year, and a lot of that dust blowing
maybe
in the direction of Nashville, Tennessee. So what do you say? Is that a possibility that the GOAT would come to the coastline of the Cumberland River?
I would never rule anything out, especially because he has not started contract talks with the Patriots yet. And, you know, is it possible some feelings get hurt and he goes look somewhere? I mean, I guess anything's possible. I just view it as pretty unlikely because I just think of, again, like, think of the logistics of it. He's 42 years old or whatever he is. He hasn't been to OTAs in several years. He doesn't participate in the offseason training program. He gets very frustrated when people don't understand what's going on in the offense, basically the system that has been tailored to him. And then he's going to go for 1 year probably and teach everyone else it and go to OTAs and be away from his family for a year. I have trouble seeing that he would actually want to do that. On the other side, Nashville is a great city, so who wouldn't want to move there, as you guys know. But everything else I don't see.
What do you think about the Titans season overall? They start 2-4, obviously change quarterbacks. The Ryan Tannehill story is amazing, I think, to end up in the Pro Bowl, having not played in the first 6 weeks of the season. But I'm just curious to get your take on it as you cover the sport nationally from afar. What did you think about the Titans run this year?
I loved it. I mean, I just generally like a lot of what the Titans do. Like, they have a very good coaching staff. The move from Mularkey to Vrabel was one of the boldest moves we've seen an ownership group and a general manager make, and everything about it has paid off. I mean, that was a hard decision to bench Marcus Mariota when he did. And Vrabel has his fingerprint over the whole team, right? But the biggest decision he had to make was to bench Marcus Mariota. He did it at the perfect time. He did it in the cleanest way. He did it somehow where Mariota didn't go off the reservation and actually has been like working with Tannehill and kind of like helping him and being a good teammate. He managed that whole situation. Mike Vrabel has done a lot of very good things for this football team, along with imprinting sort of his self on it. I like what the Titans do, and I think they're going to be, you know, I believe Tannehill will be back. And if that's the case, then they should be really good next year.
Rap Sheet and Friends podcast. You've got Duke Tobin, who's one of the Bengals executives. Please tell me they're not thinking that they would do something other than just run to the, well, cross the river on a boat in the Bellagio fountain and deliver their first round pick of Joe Burrow.
Really what we need to know, guys, is am I going to be in the fountain? I think that's the main.
I think you're going to be in
the
water.
I'm on site for the draft, and where my location is obviously one of the most important information bits for the public. So I need to know, am I going to be on a lily pad on the in the river?
I think
whatever,
that's 100% going to happen.
Lily pad anyway, sponsored, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think that for Duke Tobin and the Bengals, they don't want to rule anything out because they don't know what offer they could get. I mean, how many first-round picks would it take? You know, what if somebody offered them 4-1? Would you give 4 first-round picks for a franchise quarterback? Like, I sort of don't think so, but I don't know. Maybe it's a 4 number ones and a great player. I mean, everything has a price, and I don't think they want to turn anything off. I do think the overwhelming likelihood is they turn the pick in. It says Joe Burrow and everyone parties.
Real quick about Derrick Henry. How do you see that situation playing out? We asked you last week, is he now a $15 million a year guy? And you said, yeah, maybe, but maybe they franchise him. How do you see that situation playing out?
I mean, some of that is, you know, can they get the deal done for Ryan Tannehill first? Like, can can they get together, the Titans get together with Pat Dye, who is Ryan Tannehill's agent, and do some sort of deal before the tag to preserve the franchise tag for Derrick Henry. If they can do that, they can get Tannehill done, then I think they franchise him. If they don't, then depends on where the CBA is, because if you have a franchise tag and a transition tag both able to be used, then you could probably tag both of them. You know, if Derrick Henry's free, it's going to be interesting because it's hard to be a running back in free agency. It's not for everyone. And Derrick Henry as a running back, he's awesome, but he's not for everyone either. You know, not everyone would, he would help every team, but not, he wouldn't have the same value to everyone as he has to the Titans. So my sense is he's back, but how they're going to do it is kind of interesting.
Ian, great stuff. We know it's a busy day for you. Let's do this. Next Wednesday, we will be in Miami doing Super Bowl coverage on Media Row. Let's try to do this thing live. It would sure be fun to do that, as we've done in years past.
We did it last year, right?
Yes, sir, we did.
I think I hope we will be able to do it this year. I will say that. I would love to.
Well, that sounds good. We'll see you in Miami, brother.
All right. Take care, guys.
Ian Rappaport on 104.5 The Zone, presented by Lance Drury Law. In trouble with the IRS? You need an experienced tax attorney fighting for you. Visit LanceDruryLaw.com.
Todd Furman will join us next. Lots to discuss with our man in Las Vegas.